40 seasonal greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Kenya Athletics is ending the year with a doping cloud hanging over the country's long-distance runners who have been renowned for decades for their international success. Three top Kenyan athletic officials were recently suspended for their roles in allegedly covering up positive doping tests. Dick Pound, the former president of the World Anti-Doping Agency, has said, and I quote, "It's pretty clear there is a lot of performance-enhancing drugs being used in Kenya." In August at the World Championships in Beijing, two Kenyan athletes, Joyce Sakari and Koki Manunga, were suspended after testing positive for doping. The suspensions and doping allegations swirling around Kenya have some questioning the country's performance at the World Championships, where it became the first African nation to top the medals table. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2015, reporter Shagun Dot on the spot Adeyemi looks back on Kenya's history-making performance in Beijing.
Good evening, Africa. Kenya has made history by becoming the first African nation to emerge the overall winner of the two yearly World Athletics Championships. The East African nation finished on top of the medals table at the 15th edition of the championships. Kenya won a total of 7 gold, 6 silver, and 3 bronze medals to finish ahead of Jamaica with 7 gold, 2 silver, and 3 bronze medals, and the United States with 6 each of gold, silver, and bronze. Until this year's edition, Kenya's best outing was a second place overall finish at the 2007 edition of the championships in Osaka, Japan. In the first edition of the championships in Helsinki, Finland in 1983, Kenya did not even appear on the medals table. Altogether, 8 African teams made it to the medals table at the 2015 edition. They are, in the order in which they finished, Kenya, Ethiopia, South Africa, Eritrea, Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, and Uganda. Congratulations to Kenya, the overall winner of the 2015 World Athletics Championships, for this great achievement. In one of the highlights, the final day, African runners made it a 1-2 finish in the women's marathon. Mary Dibaba of Ethiopia won the gold in 2 hours, 27 minutes and 35 seconds. She was followed by Hella Kiprop of Kenya in 2 hours, 27 minutes and 36 seconds. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Shegun Adeyemi in Lagos.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Kenya's 7th and final gold medal in Beijing was won by Asbel Kiprop, who came from behind to win his 3rd consecutive world title in the men's 1500 meters final.
I knew that when it comes to the last 250 meters, remember that's how McLaughlin won Olympics in London, here in the last 250. I've been looking at his qualifying rounds when he races my colleague here. They have been running both of them the last 250 meters. But when you compare his last 50 meters, it's not moving. So I was a little bit confident that maybe that's where I can catch them.
That's Asbel Kiprop of Kenya, the three-time world champion in the men's 1500 meters race, and Kiprop was speaking in Beijing, China. Kenya's six other gold medal winners in Beijing were Julius Yago in the men's javelin, David Rudisha in the men's 800 meters race, Nicholas Bett in the men's 400 meters hurdles race, Ezekiel Kemboy in the men's 3,000 meters steeplechase race, Hyvin Jepkemoy in the women's 3,000 meters steeplechase race, and Vivian Chariot in the women's 10,000 meters final. Truly a great showing by the Kenyans at the World Athletics Championships. Meanwhile, two Kenyans who won gold medals at this year's World Championships in Beijing have received a big honor in Nairobi. The VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman Mark Ouma has that story, as well as other sports news.
Julius Yego and Vivian Chariot were crowned the 2015 Kenya Male and Female Athlete of the Year in Nairobi, Kenya on Thursday night. Yego, the world javelin champion, is the first Kenyan to win a gold medal in a field event on the global stage. Chariot earned accolade after winning the 10,000 meters at the World Championship. Four-time world 3,000 meter steeplechase champion Ezekiel Kemboy received the men's long distance award, while three-time world 1500 meter champion Asbel Kiprop received the middle distance award. World 400-meter hurdles champion Nicholas Bett bagged the Outstanding Performance Award. Eliud Kipchoge, victor at the London and Berlin Marathons, scooped the men's roadrunning award, while Gladys Cherono, the Berlin Marathon winner, bagged the women's roadrunning award. Kumari Turkey, the 1500-meter gold medalist at the World Youth Championship, Africa Youth Championship, and Commonwealth Youth Games, earned the Young Male Athlete of the Year award, while World Youth 2000-meter steeplechase champion Selfyn Chespol was named the Young Female Athlete of the Year. Meanwhile, seven countries have submitted bids to stage the World Race Walking Team Championship and the World Junior Athletics Championships due next year, the IAAF revealed in Monaco. Ecuador, Italy, Mexico, and Ukraine are vying to stage the race walking event, while Australia, India, and Poland have their sights trained on the Junior Athletics Championship. The bidding process became necessary after Russia, the original host for the two events, was suspended from World Athletics. Turning to football, the curtains come down at the Under-23 Africa Cup of Nations when Algeria and Nigeria clash in the finals in Dakar, Senegal tomorrow Saturday. Prior to the finals, Senegal faced South Africa in the bronze medal playoff. In Japan, the Democratic Republic of Congo's Orange Africa Champions League title holders TP Mazembe tackled Japan's Sanferese Hiroshima in the quarterfinals at the FIFA Club World Cup in Osaka on Sunday. Sanferese Hiroshima earned the right to challenge TP Mazembe following their 2-0 victory over New Zealand's Auckland City in Yokohama on Thursday. In rugby, Kenya play England as South Africa face Zimbabwe at the start of the second leg of the IRB 7 series in Cape Town, South Africa tomorrow Saturday. All four teams are drawn in the same group for their preliminary round fixtures. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Because this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Very excited. Because
this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Human rights group Amnesty International says the corruption crisis in football's world governing body, FIFA, is drawing attention away from abuses of migrant workers helping to construct venues for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Henry Ridgewell reports.
Amnesty says in recent months, Qatar has made some progress in improving the rights of migrant workers. Under the so-called new wage protection system, big companies must now regularly pay their employees by electronic bank transfer, helping to address problems over late or missing wages. But Amnesty's Mustafa Kadri says there are still holes in the legislation.
Workers that are most exposed to abuse in Qatar are those employed in the smallest companies. And they might have a three-month visa, they may be informally employed. They're very hard to track these small companies. This law does not seem to effectively apply to that pool of workers.
There are around 1.5 million migrant workers in Qatar. Most are employed under the kafala sponsorship system, where the employer is responsible for their legal status. Amnesty says this led to major abuses, including the confiscation of employees' passports.
An employer has the power to control where a worker goes, when they leave the country, whether they can change jobs. And the fact that that creates an incredible power imbalance.
Qadri accuses FIFA, football's world governing body, and the organizer of the World Cup, of abdicating its responsibilities.
We do have a concern that the focus on the corruption allegations and FIFA's leadership is diverting attention away from human rights and FIFA's responsibility with respect to human rights.
Qatar has strongly denied claims that its officials paid FIFA delegates to win their votes to host the 2022 World Cup, and FIFA's ethics committee ruled in November that any breaches of the rules were only of very limited scope. Swiss police are investigating corruption claims against suspended FIFA head Sepp Blatter, while scores of FIFA officials have been indicted in an ongoing US investigation. Speaking in London Thursday, US Attorney General Loretta Lynch urged wholesale reform.
It's incumbent upon every country that participates in this great sport to be involved in FIFA's reform.
José Luis Meisner, the former General Secretary of South American Soccer's governing body, appeared this week before an Argentine judge who will decide on an extradition request from the United States. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
I encourage our VOA listeners with internet access to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
You can also follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, that handle, at VOA Sunny Sports. Omiachi Job, whose Twitter handle is at Creativity. And Omiachi spells it K-R-A-T-I-V-I-T-Y. I like that, Creativity. Omiachi sent me a tweet, and Omiachi kept it simple, 140 characters or less. Omiachi writes, big, big pleasure, Sonny, getting you on this platform. So send me your tweets. In the meantime, I think the old sports emperor is in the house.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio show. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight, hosted by Yahayis Wuhib, immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports at 1800 UTC. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sunny.
David, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, getting ready to hold the draws for its two primary club competitions, the Champions League and the Confederation Cup. How about a preview?
Right, Sonny. I'm looking at the teams that are likely to play in the 2016 CAF Champions League. And we have 11 former champions and six other clubs that have won other African competitions. The top sides, the top 12, in fact, are allowed two entrants each, and then the other countries are allowed one each. And when you're looking at potential winners of any CAF club competition, you have to look first and foremost, Sonny, at the North Africans. Tunisia, they'll be represented by Club Africain and the CAF Confederation Cup title holders, Etoile Sahel, and both of those are former champions. In Egypt, it's the old firm, it's Zamalek and Al Ahly, not perhaps as strong as they have been in the past, but they surely are going to be competitive and challenging for group places. You're going to have a strong duo from the Democratic Republic of Congo. You've got the defending champions TP Mazembe, and you've also got AS Vita Club, although I notice on their shirts it's just V and then Club. V-Club reached the 2014 Champions League final. So in the last two seasons, you've had a DR Congo winner and a DR Congo runner-up. Algeria, you'll have Anton Fatif, the 2014 African champions, and Maludia Bejaia. Sudan, Sonny, no guesses for who the two clubs that will represent that country are. It's the old firm again. It's El Marek and Al Hilal. Both semi-finalists this year, so they'll be looking to improve on that. A surprise from Ivory Coast, you've got AS Tanda. They will be debutants, their first appearance. And then you've got a well-known club, ASEC Mimosas. They were the winners of the Champions League back in 1998. From Morocco, you'll have Wydad Casablanca, again, former champions. And you've got Kor Ibga, a team that has yet to win in Africa. Cotton Spore and Union Douala, former champions. They will represent Cameroon. Leopards and Etoile will represent Congo Brazzaville. Stade Malien and Cretours will represent Mali. And Yimba and the Wari Wolves will represent Nigeria. I just love that name, Sonny, the Wari Wolves. Ferocious team, a team ready to bite any opponent. And Wari Wolves, they've got some African experience. And in Etebo, they've got one of the stars of the Nigerian under-23 team. It'll be interesting to see how he shapes up. So in Yimba and Wari Wolves, we wish them well. It's been some time now, Sonny, since Nigeria conquered Africa in the Champions League. You've got to go back to the 2003 and 2004 seasons when Yimba won successive titles. And last, and hopefully, Sonny, not least, South Africa. They'll be represented for the second straight season by the same two clubs. It'll be the Kaizer Chiefs and the Mamelodi Sundowns. And then going down to the countries that have won entrants, clubs that have won previously in Africa are Haroya of Guinea and Gor Mahia of Kenya. Now, I have this image, Sonny, of people scratching their heads and saying, when did Haroya and Gor Mahia win an African Cup competition? Well, Sonny, you've got to go way back. In fact, in the case of Haroya, you've got to go back to 1978. They won the then African Cup Winners' Cup. It's now known as the CAF Confederation Cup. And in 1987, Gor Mahia, the pride of Kenya, they beat the mighty Esperance of Tunisia on the away goal rule to win that same African Cup Winners' Cup. So Haroya and Gor Mahia, it's been a long, long time, Sonny, and they'll be trying to rekindle some of those glory days. If you go over, Sonny, to the CAF Confederations Cup. Now, this year, I repeatedly said on The Voice of America what a strong field there was. In fact, when it got to the group stage, in my opinion, the CAF Confederation Cup was a much stronger competition than the CAF Champions League. And I believe that view was borne out by the finals, whereas Mazembe totally dominated USM Alger in the Champions League final, which really was quite disappointing overall. We had this great final to the CAF Confederation Cup, in which a 12 Sahel of Tunisia pipped Orlando Pirates of South Africa 2-1 on aggregate. But it were two really competitive games and much more compelling viewing than the Champions League. However, having said that, at this stage, Sonny, it doesn't look as if the CAF Confederation Cup field for 2016 is particularly strong, because there are only four former winners of African club competitions. They are Esperance of Tunisia, Africa Sports of Ivory Coast, and Kwakab Marrakesh and Fuz Rabat of Morocco. But that could all change when we get to the playoff stage, because that is when the eight losers of the final qualifying round from the Champions League, they are demoted, if you want to call it that, Sonny, or parachuted, as is a phrase that's becoming quite commonly used. Anyway, whether it's parachutes or demotion, they drop down to the CAF Confederation Cup, and they can make that competition so much stronger. I mean, you had the likes of Al Ahly of Egypt coming into the Confederation Cup for the last two seasons, because they failed at the final hurdle in the Champions League. So a weakish-looking field at the moment, Sonny, for the CAF Confederation Cup, but it could change dramatically when we get to the playoff stage. And all this action, Sonny, it's due to begin on February the 12th, 2016, and it'll stretch all the way up to November. It's a long season. And what's of particular interest, and it's obviously because of the really tight calendar for African football, is unconfirmed at this stage, but for the first time, it seems likely that we're going to have midweek matches. One set of midweek matches in the playoff round of the CAF Confederation Cup, and then three of the six match days at the group stage will be midweek. So instead of matches being played Friday, Saturday or Sunday, they're going to be played on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And that will be historic, Sonny, because going way back to the first matches in the CAF club competitions in 1964, there have never been matches officially scheduled for midweek. What you have is sometimes postponed matches, or matches that have been affected by security issues, they are then played in midweek, but they were not officially scheduled for midweek. I did ask CAF to confirm this. CAF, true to form, have not come back to me 2 weeks later. So, Sonny, we'll just keep a watching brief on those dates for the matches.
Finally, David, the reigning CAF Champions League title holder, TP Mazembe, getting ready for the FIFA Club World Cup. They play in Osaka on Sunday, December 13th, against Hiroshima from Japan. What do you think of Mazembe's chances, David?
Interesting one, Sonny, because Mazembe have appeared twice before. On the first occasion in 2009, they were very poor. They finished sixth out of seven countries. And then I don't think any African football lover needs reminding just how well they did in 2010. They beat Internacional of Brazil in the semifinals 2-0. Okay, they lost 3-0 to Inter Milan in the final. But two things emerged. First of all, we had the first African finalist in the FIFA Club World Cup. It broke that rather tedious monopoly that has been Europe versus South America in the finals. I think it was really nice and much appreciated by a lot of people that we had something different. We had an African team in the final. And the other thing, Sonny, is it introduced to the whole world Robert Kidiaba. Now, Robert Kidiaba is that veteran, dreadlocked, ponytailed TP Mazembe goalkeeper that uses his bottom to bounce around the goal mouth every time he feels there's a need to celebrate. And certainly judging from social media, he was a huge hit, very popular indeed. I think, Sonny, it's got to be among the most unique goal celebration acts in world football. Kidiaba getting on a little bit now. He's almost 40 years of age, but he's held on to that first-team shirt at Mazembe throughout 2015, and I'm expecting him, Sonny, to be in the starting lineup for this match against Hiroshima. The winners of this tie go on, Sonny, to play River Plate of Argentina in the semi-finals, and then if I'm not tempting fate too much, if Mazembe were to cause a shock and get past River Plate, their most likely opponent in the final would be Barcelona, and that, of course, means Messi, it means Suarez, and it means Neymar.
Thanks, David. That's David Legg, our African football guru, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. The world champion U.S. women's national soccer team trounced visiting Trinidad and Tobago Thursday night 6-0 in a friendly match played in the southwestern U.S. city of San Antonio, Texas. Christian Press was the heroine for the U.S. women. Kristen came on as a second-half substitute, and then she banged in three goals for the American women. Carly Lloyd, Alex Morgan, and Lindsay Horan had the three other goals for the USA. Some of our VOA football fans might remember Carly Lloyd. She was named the Golden Ball winner, that is, the best player at the 2015 Women's World Cup this year in Canada. And Carly Lloyd is also up for the 2015 FIFA Women's Player of the Year Award, which will be announced on January 11th in Zurich, Switzerland. The American women have been celebrating their World Cup trophy, their record-extending third World Cup trophy, by playing a series of exhibition matches. And I'm pretty sure that match against Trinidad and Tobago wrapped up their schedule for 2015. In National Basketball Association news, the defending champion Golden State Warriors go after their record-extending 24th victory in a row later Friday night when they play the Celtics in Boston, Massachusetts. The Warriors, led by reigning league most valuable player Stephen Curry, are already off to the best start in NBA history. After playing the Celtics tonight, the Warriors hit the road to play the Milwaukee Bucks on Saturday night. So we'll have to wait to see if that winning streak is still alive at the end of the weekend. And speaking of winning streaks, the Warriors have their eyes on the record 33-game winning streak. That's the longest in NBA history, set by the Los Angeles Lakers during the 1971-72 season. In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, Kevin Durant had 25 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists as the Oklahoma City Thunder clipped the wings of the visiting Atlanta Hawks 107-94. Oklahoma City's Russell Westbrook had 23 points and 10 assists. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Serge Ibaka. I believe Serge is the only player in the NBA from Congo Brazzaville. He had a season-high 23 points and 10 rebounds for the Thunder, which won its third consecutive game. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.